Our readings today are taken from Exodus chapter 5, 22 and 23, and chapter 6, verses 1 to 9. Right. Moses returned to the Lord and said, O Lord, why have you brought trouble upon this people? Is this why you sent me? Ever since I went to Pharaoh to speak in your name, he has brought trouble upon his people, and you have not rescued your people at all. And then into chapter 6, verse 1. The Lord said to Moses, Now you will see what I will do to Pharaoh. Because of my mighty hand, he will not let them go. Because of my mighty hand, he will drive them out of his country. God also said to Moses, I am the Lord. I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob as God Almighty. But by my name, the Lord, I did not make myself known to them. I also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, where they lived as aliens. Moreover, I have heard the groanings of the Israelites, whom the Egyptians are enslaving, and I have remembered my covenant. Therefore, say to the Israelites, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with mighty acts of judgment. I will take you as my own people, and I will be your God. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God, who brought you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. I will bring you to the land I swore with uplifted hand to give to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. I will give it to you as a possession. I am the Lord. Moses reported this to the Israelites, but they did not listen to him because of their discouragement and cruel bondage. Amen.
There's an old hymn that says these words, the first verse, Jesus, where'er thy people meet, there they behold thy mercy seat. Where'er they seek thee, thou art found, and every place is hallowed ground. Let's pray together. Our loving God, Heavenly Father, what a joy it is to be here at Holland Road this morning. But now that there's an even greater joy to know that where'er people in this world are tuned into this service this morning, maybe they're watching it live, maybe they're going to watch it later in the day on a recording. But Lord, you're there with them, right beside them, just as you are with us here. And we pray, Father, that you would meet with every person here that comes under the sound of the gospel here in this church this morning. We pray for Tim as he brings your word, Lord. We just pray that you bless your word and, Father, make us attentive to it, Lord. I know how easy it is when I'm sat in an armchair at home, how easy it is to nod off. But, Father, I just pray that we will be attentive to your word this morning and that rather you're waiting to speak to us. And we just pray, Father, that you would bless each one of us as Tim opens your word this morning. And all God's people at Holland Road said, Amen.
Amen. Amen. Good morning, everyone. Great to see you. And welcome back to our series as well, as we look at this subject of freedom. How do you experience freedom in life? How do you break the chains that so often kind of bind us up and weigh us down? That's a question that's right at the heart of the Bible. You know, if you want to know, you know, what is a Christian? What does it mean to follow God? Well, freedom is a huge part of that. So right at the center of the Old Testament, we have this story, this book of Exodus, this amazing story of liberation of a people in captivity. And that's the story that afterwards, God's people keep looking back to. They keep going back to understanding what it means to follow God. You have to kind of look back to Exodus to understand it. And then when you get to the New Testament, right at the center of the New Testament, when the Apostle Paul's trying to describe what it is to be a Christian, he says this: "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery." What that is saying is that there is a slavery that takes place in life that all of us need to be set free from. Every person you meet, it is caught by this slavery in some way. But what's interesting about that verse is its suggestion is that even when you then get set free, as Amanda was showing us, it's possible then to kind of get back into slavery, to get kind of caught up again. And Exodus is all about how to get free and how to stay free. This is a real low point for God's people. They are slaves in Egypt. So a quick bit of history up until this point. If you remember, Abraham received those amazing promises in Genesis 12, a promise of a land, of a people, of a blessing to the world through his descendants. And that promise gets passed to his son Isaac, that gets passed to his son Jacob, who has 12 sons who then will become the 12 tribes of Israel. But in the midst of all that's happening, there are so many different problems, all kinds of kind of family issues. You could do a whole other sermon series on that, but it culminates in betrayal of Joseph, one of the brothers who's sold into slavery. Then there's a famine, if you know the story, and amazingly, the one who's betrayed, Joseph, ends up rescuing the rest of the family. They get welcomed into Egypt. They prosper and they're doing well, but then a new Pharaoh arises who enslaves them and oppresses them. And there's this sort of almost attempted genocide, and it's just horrible abuse and injustice that they experience. And in the midst of this, Moses, himself a kind of miracle child, he grows up as a prince of Egypt. He sees this injustice and he wants to do something. He tries to help. And he ends up killing a soldier, and it all goes terribly wrong. And he ends up fleeing to the desert where he spends 40 years. But eventually, he gets called back by God. Age, do you know what age he was? 80 years old. Okay? God does not discount people because of age. Age is no barrier to God. Moses tells Pharaoh to set the people free. Pharaoh says, no chance. Things get worse. And that's where we are. Have you ever been in a situation like Moses? You ever try to help a situation? And instead of things getting better, things just get worse. You ever had that happen? I have. You know, have you ever been in that position like Moses is in chapter 5, where he's saying, God, verse 22, why have you brought so much trouble? You know, God, it's like, God, where are you? God, what are you doing? And he says, and why am I in the middle of it? You know, what are you doing, God? Exodus is all about hope in the face of the most difficult circumstances. It's about how freedom can come when things look like they're just getting worse. This morning we're going to look at getting free and staying free. Firstly, getting free. Verse 1 of chapter 6 is like the turning point of the whole of Exodus. It says this: "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Now you will see what I will do to Pharaoh. Because of my mighty hand, he will let them go. Because of my mighty hand, he will drive them out of his country.'" This might seem like a really obvious question, but who is going to bring the freedom here? It's God, isn't it? Yeah, it's not Moses, it's what God is going to do. We've seen what Moses can do, and it resulted in 40 years hiding in the wilderness. And you know, that's actually the challenge for so many of us. You know, you ever had this experience? We need a breakthrough. We need something to change. And instead of coming to God, instead of crying out to God, we take matters into our own hands. You know, instead of seeing the kind of mighty hands of God moving, we kind of try and grab hold of things with our kind of small hands that aren't nearly strong enough or powerful enough to solve the situation. And so often we end up making a mess. You know, it's a bit like trying to carry your shopping with your hands rather than in your bag. Have you ever done that? I went shopping a few weeks ago and I forgot our bags. And I'm under strict instructions not to buy any more plastic bags. So I try to carry the shopping without bags. And it was a nightmare. I don't recommend it. I ended up dropping stuff. It was just terrible. Do you do that with situations in life? You're just kind of trying to carry stuff that's too heavy. Trying to hold on to things. Trying to manage things that actually you're supposed to place into God's hands, kind of into God's bag, as it were. You know, the God who is so much bigger, so much more able. Are there things right now, even this morning, situations, people, or that you actually just need to place into God's hands? You know, God's hands are far bigger and more capable than ours. You know, God has to remind Moses, verse 2, who he is. Verse 3, he's the God of Abraham, he's the God of Isaac, he's the God of Jacob. The God who, verse 4, keeps his covenants. And here's the key, he's the God who hears. Verse 5, moreover, I've heard the groaning of the Israelites whom the Egyptians are enslaving, and I have remembered my covenant. You know, so often in life, we wonder, has God heard? Has God heard my groaning? Has God seen my pain? And God has to remind Moses that he's the one who initiated their relationship. He's the one who made the promises. He's the one who is more concerned for the people than Moses is. You know, sometimes we can make the mistake in life to think that we care more than God does. You know, God loves people far more than we do. And he has a far bigger plan than Moses does. You know, often we're wondering, you know, why God haven't you acted? When the whole reason God hasn't acted is because the answer he is preparing is actually bigger than the prayer we've even prayed. That's what Moses discovers. Exodus 3 verse 7 says this, I have seen the misery of my people, says God. I am concerned about their suffering. I'm going to do something bigger. I'm going to rescue them, bring them out into a land flowing with milk and honey. God promises to utterly transform their situation. How is he going to do that? Verse 6, therefore say to the Israelites, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. I will free you from being slaves to them, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with mighty acts of judgment. God says he will redeem through mighty acts of judgment. To redeem is a beautiful word. It's actually one of the most important words in the Bible. Its meaning, its historical meaning, is to purchase or to ransom something or someone. So a slave was redeemed when someone paid the price to set them free. So what is the payment in Exodus? What's it got to do with judgment? You see, God brings judgment on Pharaoh. You might know the story. For the appalling abuse that he and the Egyptians have brought on God's people. And we say, well, that's right. You know, it's right when a dictator is kind of held to account. You know, judgment on the oppressor, that's what we long for. In fact, the agony people feel when that doesn't happen, like we've seen even this week with the Hillsborough families, again, denied justice. We long for justice. In fact, one of the things that encourages evil to prosper is the false belief that there won't be judgment. Alec Mateer points out that the very first doctrine to be denied in the Bible is judgment. That's why dictators kind of do whatever they want. They think there's going to be no accountability. And God says, no, there will be. There will be judgment. God is deeply opposed to evil. He is so for the oppressed. He wants to set them free. And so he sends these plagues. They sort of start off small and they gradually increase. It's like God is so reluctant to bring this upon even the oppressors. It's like warning after warning. And still, Pharaoh refuses to yield. And so God brings a final plague. And then something very strange happens in this 10th plague, because he turns to his people, the ones who were the victims, and he says, you are not safe from this judgment. You're not safe. And this is where God reveals something vital about redemption. It's this truth that the world is not divided into good people on the one side and bad people on the other. You can't solve the world's problems by simply kind of removing the pharaohs of this world. And that's a really common mistake people make, even in debates today. People kind of hating others, wanting to no-platform others, remove, to threaten those they disagree with. It comes from this kind of false idea that I am good and you are bad. The sad irony when you have that mentality is that actually you begin by fighting oppression and actually become an oppressor of others. How do you avoid that happening? Redemption is how. Redemption is needed because there is a bigger slavery going on in people's lives. It's a slavery that goes on in the life of every person you meet. You know, the biggest chains in your life are not the kind of external chains that are put on you. They are the internal ones that capture your heart. It's what the Bible calls sin. Jesus says, very truly I say to you, everyone who commits sin is the slave of sin. You know, that means we have no kind of power to ultimately break free from sin. If sin's our master, it means we can't ultimately resist it. You see, God says the thing that the people are enslaved to ultimately is not Pharaoh, it's actually their sin. That's the cause of all the evil that we see in this world, all the pain that we encounter. And the question is, well, how do you remove sin and judge sin without removing people? Well, that's what the better story is all about. You know, we can often think that God loves to judge. You ever have that view of God, that he's kind of looking down, waiting for us to mess up? What we see here in the Bible is the exact opposite. He is slow to anger. He's abounding in love. And because he desires mercy over judgment, he says to his people, well, I want you to sacrifice a lamb as this judgment comes. And when you put the blood of the lamb on the doorposts when this judgment comes into Egypt, it's called the Passover. And you're thinking, well, why do that? Well, it brings us back to that picture of substitution and sacrifice that we saw last week. The blood of the lamb, it covers those who are inside the house, because it proclaims that judgment has already come here. Judgment has already fallen. This is a sacrifice of atonement. That means they're safe from sin. The penalty of sin is broken, but the result is amazing, because the people then get set free, which shows actually the power of sin is also broken too. And of course, this is just a picture of the sacrifice of atonement that was coming. A lamb could never break the power of sin in someone's life. And so years later, Jesus comes and John the Baptist, he sees him. He says, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. That's why Jesus comes. That's why he dies. At the cross, we discover God loves us so much. He will pay whatever price it will cost to redeem people, to set people free. On the cross, Jesus takes the judgment we deserve, and it breaks the power of sin. It decisively defeats sin in a person's life. That's how you get free. You get free by sheltering under the cross. You shelter under this sacrifice of redemption. You look to the one who died in your place. It's wonderful. It's amazing. It's what Greg was talking about. Saying, wow, I've been set free. The cloud has lifted. The sun has broken in. There's no condemnation. The penalty is paid. And yet the question is, well, how do you stay free? Because so often we have that moment, don't we? Maybe you have a kind of moment in your life, you think, yeah, I remember when I believed that for the first time, and I knew that freedom, but it's like life happens, and you get bound up again, and it's like the chains are back on, and you're kind of back to this verse that says, well, don't let yourself be yoked again to slavery. What is it that means we kind of get bound up again? Why does that happen? How do you stand firm? Well, the clue is in verse 7. Verse 7 says, I will take you as my own people and I will be your God. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God who brought you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. The key to remaining free is understanding who you belong to now. Understanding who you are. Understanding what actually has happened. God says, you are now my people. You don't belong to Pharaoh anymore. You belong to me. And that's a challenge for them to believe, because Pharaoh lets them go and then says, actually, I've changed my mind. Come back. I want you back. And it's like the master sin says that to us all the time. Says, I want you back. You're not really free. And the battle becomes, what do I believe for the people? Do they really believe that they are free? Do they believe they belong to God? Or do they believe the lie that Pharaoh wants to bring, that you still belong to him? Vaughan Roberts, in his Bible overview book, he writes this. He says, Christians seem to be prone to spiritual amnesia. It's like we just forget. We forget who we belong to. We forget who we are and what God has done, what Jesus has done for us. You see, what's happening at the cross is not just an example of amazing love, though of course it is that. What actually happens at the cross is actually a change of status for people. They actually move from being slaves to being free, from having a master that is sin to a master that is God. And so that as that happens, as you accept what Christ has done in you, you actually fit here under God. It's actually more natural to live free from sin than it is to live in sin. When you live in sin, it's actually you're living this unnatural life. It's not who you are anymore. Romans 6 says we are no longer slaves to sin. That's what Exodus is trying to show us. It's the better story. As Alec Mateer writes, if you asked an Israelite, who are you? He might reply, I was in a foreign land under the sentence of death and in bondage, but I took shelter under the blood of the Lamb, and our mediator led us out, and we crossed over. Now we're on the way to the promised land, though we're not there yet. This is the gospel. This is the good news of Jesus. We've been rescued and we're now on a journey. We're not there yet, but we do have a different master. We have changed status. We have left that slavery. Romans 8 says, this is how different our position is. Romans says, you are now children. says, and if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If you are a Christian, you have the most privileged, awesome position. And the enemy doesn't want you to believe that. The enemy wants to keep you trapped, as Amanda was reminding us. The enemy wants you to be the one who's holding on to the problems and the challenges around you. The enemy wants to weigh you down with guilt and anxiety and fear. And the Lord Jesus says, that is not what I've called you to. He says, my yoke is easy. My burden is light. He says, come and live freely. Come and walk with me. Come and bring your challenges. Lay them at my feet. Are you remembering who you are? That's why God institutes so many things designed to remember. You know, he institutes the Passover meal. Jesus institutes the communion meal. It's why we gather together each week. It's why we read the Bible. It's why we pray. We need to remember. It's like our minds take so long to catch up with the reality that we actually have been set free. You know, for some people, they are so discouraged. You know, in so much pain that they can't even hear that. Verse 9. Moses reported this to the Israelites. They did not listen to him because of their discouragement and their cruel bondage. They can't hear, and yet God comes for them. God comes and lifts those who cannot even hear the good news. Do you need to be set free this morning? Are there things that God needs to release you from? Things that you need to remember are true about who you are because you are in Christ. Let's pray together. There's a prayer room available for anyone who'd appreciate prayer this morning. You can go to that even right now, but I'm going to pray for us. Lord God, we need your help. Lord, we're sorry for where we try to be the answer to the problems. Lord, only you can bring freedom. Lord, only you can break the power of sin. Lord Jesus, we thank you that when you died, you not only took the penalty of sin, but you broke sin's power. And Lord, we invite you, Jesus, to do that now, even in our lives. Maybe some watching or here needing that to happen for the very first time, like Greg shared, you to break in to the darkness. Lord, we pray, come and do that now. You can just invite the Lord into your life. You can confess your sin. Ask for forgiveness and he will set you free. Just bring your own prayer to God. Lord, I want to pray for those who have already tasted of that freedom. Lord, I pray that you would help us to live in the freedom that you have won for us. Lord, that we would not believe the lie that says we are still slaves. Thank you that you offer to carry our burdens. Lord, help us to stand in all that you have done. Help us to remember who we are and who we belong to. Lord, would you break chains that need breaking? Where there are habits that need to be broken, where there are fears that need releasing, problems that need solving, Lord, would you come? Would you break the chains? Lord, would you come and do what only you can do? For we ask it in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen.